Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you know you're listening to a great show. We got awesome stuff for you. We got some hoop. NBA free agency is upon us. The Olympic team took down the Spaniards last night. In what was dicey at the time in the first half, down 9 points, made a run at the end of the first half, took the lead in the second half, and never relented. David Thorpe will join us, of course, has coached and worked out so many of these players, understands international basketball, talking about the Olympics, about what we saw last night, and about so many of these free agency moves. Let's get into, though, football, as so many of these teams are at practice and at workouts. And what we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to think of things in linear fashion, right? Linear fashion. What is linear fashion? What do I mean by that? The Indianapolis Colts yesterday, we found out they lost Carson Wentz for, it's going to be a while, right? A couple months. What, 5 to 12? He's having surgery on his foot. Then today we found out that the Colts lost their star right guard, Quentin Nelson, also out 5 to 12 months, also out with a foot injury. And so the Colts, a team who they're over-under, if you go to BetRivers Sports, their over-under is 10 wins. A team that opens up, albeit at home, with Seahawks, playoff team, Rams, playoff team, Titans, playoff team, on the road, by the way, at Dolphins, at Ravens, before they get to the Texans. Whew. A team that won 11 games last year, a team that's in a division, which is kind of a layup for them, right? I mean, you got Jacksonville, which is rebuilding, and Houston, which they're not even dressing Deshaun Watson when they go to pads. 10 wins was an easy pick before injuries. You're like, well, you know, harder schedule, but you got four set wins, and then you have the Titans. Worst case scenario, you split with the Titans. You got five wins. All you need is five more. Remember, you're playing 17 games this season. But, man, you open. Remember how they open up. You're not going to have the best guard in football. You're not going to have your starting quarterback. Even if you go out and find a way to get another quarterback, Seahawks, Rams, Titans, Dolphins, Ravens, Texans, Niners, Titans. Yikes! But instead of looking at it in linear fashion is, well, over-under is 10. You take the under there. You can kind of cancel Christmas. Their season's going to be a wash. All good. But the bigger story is because, yes, you can find a Carson Wentz out there, whether it's Nick Foles in a short period of time or whomever they decide. You know, maybe they give Jacob Eason because he's got a cannon for an arm. Maybe they let Sam Ehlinger go out and run around back there and make plays and run some zone read. And it's not like their coach doesn't have a history of doing that. Going back to last year with Jalen Hurts, you just try and make it work until the starter gets back. But when Eric Fisher's out, Quentin Nelson's out, even Ryan Kelly, their starting center, has been injured, and they don't have their quarterback, I think you look at the bigger picture, and you start to go, well, it's not just that you chalk up another win for the Seahawks and the Rams early on that you would have thought might have been a loss, but now another playoff spot becomes available. That's how it works. That's how it affects the entire league. I'll give you the parallel in basketball is really simple. In college basketball, Michigan State, for the last 20-some-odd years, really 23, 24 years, let's just go 25. It's not really 25, but close enough. Yeah, 25. 25 years ago, Tom Izzo coached his first season. They weren't great immediately. It wasn't until 2000 when they won a national championship. They've been to multiple Final Fours since, but they've never won a national championship since. It just so happens to coincide with the fact that Michigan was on probation. Michigan being on probation, if you look at it in a linear fashion, killed Michigan basketball for a good decade. First, they were on probation. Then they came back. Then they went through a couple coaching hires. Even Tommy Amaker couldn't win there. Right? Tommy Amaker won at Seton Hall. He's won at Harvard. He couldn't win at Michigan. They needed to fix their facilities. Other stuff needed to be rebuilt. But Michigan basketball, ever since, once they recovered, obviously they've been very, very good ever since, behind a couple of different coaches. But the point is that Michigan's downfall led to the rise of Michigan State basketball. Right? Oklahoma has been the dominant team most of the past decade in college football. What does that coincide with? It coincides with the turnstile that is Texas football with their coaching staff and their inability to find the right guy since Colt McCoy graduated. Many teams often benefit from the downfall of a competitor. You know, look around any of your favorite sports, and when a team that traditionally is strong has a down year, right? I mean, look, what led to the rise of the Suns in the West? The Lakers injuries, the Warriors injuries, the Nuggets injuries. Everybody in the West was hurt. So that to me is the story. You can find another quarterback. You can't find another Quentin Nelson. Because at this time of year, there are quarterbacks who are the odd man out. There are quarterbacks who they're overpaid. There is Nick Foles. They're not trading Deshaun Watson in division, but there's Jimmy Garoppolo. There's Nick Foles. There's Deshaun Watson. There'll be others. Okay? There'll be others. There's others that I don't need to go into mentioning, but maybe Tua Tagovailoa becomes your quarterback because the Dolphins want Deshaun Watson. It's possible. But the point is that while you can get a quarterback, you're never going to find another quality guard in the market right now. And when you lose a guy who your team is built around on that offensive line and you're playing a difficult schedule and then you lose your quarterback, good luck with that, especially when you have a front-loaded schedule. So I think these are absolutely going to be tough days for the Colts, but I don't think you look at it from simply a Colts perspective. I think you look at it from an entire AFC perspective. Here's Nick Foles when asked about the Colts losing Carson Wentz to injury. This is yesterday.
Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time. He understands me as a player. He understands me as a person. But, you know, right, I haven't had any talks with him. I don't know. I'm a Chicago Bear right now. He knows me. He understands. I mean, y'all watched the 2017 season in the playoffs where he changed the offense and built it around me, and y'all saw what happened. So he understood my mentality as a player, and he was able to build it around me and put me in a successful position and my teammates. Carson and I have a lot of history. I have a lot of respect for Carson. He's a tremendous player. He's going through adversity once again, but he'll bounce back, and he might miss a few games, but I know he'll be back out there. But we haven't had any talks, so right now I'm a Chicago Bear, and I'm going to keep slinging with these third stringers, and we're going to dice them up.
Okay, so, I mean, obviously that was a come and get me, come and save me. Please, 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 dear God, do you have the cap room, considering the cap hit is $6.6 million this year for the Colts. The dead cap is $14.3 million. So all of that has to be adjusted. But can you imagine if you're Carson Wentz and you finally get to a new home to play for your old coach who has a really good offensive line, then you get hurt, and then your guard gets hurt, and then everybody's like, hey, why don't you go get Nick Foles? You mean the guy who won the Super Bowl when I was going to win the MVP? Sure, let's go do that. What a crazy series of events we're seeing in Indianapolis. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, coming up. Oh, we got breaking news. Let's go to Dan Byer.
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
Doug, the Lakers are at it again. A report from ESPN says the Lakers have agreed to a one-year deal with Carmelo Anthony. Lakers also agreeing to terms with Malik Monk. And ESPN saying that the Steph Curry extension with the Warriors is finalized. 4 years, $215 million. Mark Stein actually had it yesterday that the sides were close to terms. What ESPN is saying is that Curry's extension will be added on to the final year of his current deal, which expires after next season. But anyway, Carmelo Anthony going to be a member of the Lakers.
What are the Lakers doing? What are you doing? The AAR, the Lakers spelled AARP? Do I get it that Carmelo Anthony has shown the ability to be a stretch 3-4 and make shot? Yes. Will they have Anthony Davis defending the rim? Sure. They're the oldest team in the NBA, and they're getting older. Oh, what? I don't understand this plan. I don't. I mean, like, look, it's pretty obvious what the plan is, but I. Okay. Patty Mills, by the way, apparently selected the Nets over the Lakers. Maybe he knew something we did not. All right, coming up next. The perception does not match the reality. Okay, the perception does not match the reality. That's the case with the Jordan Love selection in Green Bay. I can prove it to you. Upcoming next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So, I don't know if you guys saw this. Bob Bowlesby is the commissioner of the Big 12. He came out of hibernation today and said, apparently, where he's going to meet with the new commissioner of the Pac-12 to try and form a certain sort of alliance, maybe merge. I don't know. Try and figure it out. And among the issues with Texas and Oklahoma leaving, the biggest issue is they had meetings for the last 6 months periodically over the future of the Big 12. And during those times, apparently Texas and Oklahoma were in those meetings like, yeah, sure, sounds good. And meanwhile, they're negotiating, working on a deal for them to leave and go to the SEC. That's not good business. So it would stand to reason that I'm somebody who likes congruent arguments, and I would say it's fair for Aaron Rodgers to go like, hey, if schools should communicate with with conferences and other opponents about their intentions for the future, why can't a team tell a player what their intentions are? Sounds fair, right? I think context matters. I think timing matters. I think how things go down matter. Do I think the Packers could have given Aaron Rodgers some sort of heads up? Hey, never know, might take a quarterback. Do I think they needed to? Not necessarily. But everyone's saying they should have with Jordan Love. Ah, that's where it gets interesting. Brian Gutekunst was quoted yesterday as saying this, quite frankly, if it was even a possibility, I would have loved to do that. It's communicating with Rodgers. We didn't go into the draft thinking, hey, we're going to target this and do that. If that was the case, we probably would have done that. That's not the reality. Would we have changed anything? I don't know if Aaron, with the issues he has, if that's really part of it. But a player like Aaron in a situation like that, you would have loved to give him a heads up. It's just the way things transpired wasn't a possibility. That quote via Sports Illustrated. So I'm sure most of you are calling BS and saying, Gottlieb, if you're fair, you got to criticize Brian Gutekunst. And this is Brian Gutekunst's way of saying, yeah, hey, my bad. I probably should have sent him a text and communicated or whatever. But the fact is that during an NFL draft, when you see a prospect, and if you remember back to that draft, there were some that thought he would be taken in the top five of the draft. Live arm, very much a developmental prospect. He was supposedly a riser the day of the draft, and then he fell. And there, you only have a couple minutes. You got to get the trade. You got to move up. You got to know who wants him. And then you got to. That's what they did. That's the reality of it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I buy it. It's different than when you have 6 months, when you have months and months of meetings, when you have plenty of time to tell some of your brother schools, like, hey, listen, I don't know what's going to happen with this league, but you should always have a contingency plan. Those kind of statements would really help you out, right? Especially with brother schools. I understand you're not on the same team, so technically, so you don't have to, but you should. In this particular case, you are on the same team. You don't have to. Maybe you should, but the reality is it's hard to do. If you've ever sat in a draft boardroom, I have. If you've ever talked to GMs the night of the draft, they go dark. They're working on a bunch of different things and trying to figure things out. I buy this. The reality is they weren't looking for Jordan Love. Jordan Love was falling, and they felt like, hey, we know if we can jump up and get him before somebody else does, we'll get some value there.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Let's get you to David Thorpe, who, of course, you can hear on his own podcast and True Hoop. Read his stuff at truehoop.com. David, let's start with the Lakers. Okay, so they needed some youth and shooting. They got and cheap. They did so with Malik Monk. They get Carmelo Anthony, who provides them some shooting and offense, but another older piece. There's two parts that jump out to me. One, this is not going to be a very good defensive team. And two, they're old. What do you think of the new look Lakers?
Well, you kind of stole my thunder. If you go back just in the LeBron-Davis duo, history, they won a championship when their identity was smash-mouth basketball. They led the league in paint scoring. They destroyed the postseason in paint scoring. They also led it in block shots. They were third, I think, in the regular season at defense, again, two seasons ago, and won a championship. And then last year, despite all the injuries and everything, they were the best defensive team in the league. They played a little differently and didn't have those shot blockers quite the same because, Dwight and McGee were gone. But they did have an identity. And so I would argue now, Doug, their identity is old guys. That's the identity. Monk did get better for Charlotte late in the year, shot 40% from three. Carmelo, two of the last three seasons, has been abominable on defense. Bottom 12% in the league two of the last 3 years, and wasn't good in his one good year. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know that what Westbrook doesn't move the needle defensively. I do think they'll be a very good regular season because kind of Westbrook's force of will, and I think Davis and LeBron have a force of will. And I think Davis, too, Doug, he really is as much a part of that defensive identity as LeBron, but you've got to have guys around you that also can do it, move their feet and want to play. I like to say have a disposition to defend. I think their coach, Frank Vogel, has done a great job of developing that. But it just isn't easy to get these guys that they have now to buy into it at their age and then be able to do it even if they do buy in. I don't have them as a contender as we speak. I realize that there's buyout opportunities and potentially trades later on. But as of now, even though the West is pretty weak compared to the last two decades, I don't have them anywhere near the top.
Okay. The Miami Heat seem to be being championed for their moves. They went and got Kyle Lowry yesterday in a sign-in trade. Couldn't I make the case that Kyle Lowry, as a point guard at 36, bit of a reach? I don't know. I don't love it as much as many in the media or some people in your position love it. Where are you in the Miami Heat?
So I like all the things Miami's done. In the Kyle case, you're betting on one thing. He had three straight seasons where two of the last three seasons going into this past year in Tampa, he was a top 10% defender. He was not that last year, having, they played 25 minutes from where I live. Knowing all that they went through, and I don't know that anyone really understands just how devastated it wasn't just about playing so far from home and all of that. And my area, quite frankly, is a very lovely place to live, especially during the winter when we're still going to the beach all the time. But the COVID issues and everything else, I think, caused a lot of problems. And so I think they're betting that Kyle's still got a lot of gas in the tank. But they don't have a lot of old guys the way the Lakers do. And, in fact, they have a couple really very good young players. I watched Bam Adebayo early this morning. He didn't play great for Team USA, but his career is ascendant, right? Duncan Robinson is probably at the peak of his game. Tyler Hero's still there. Jimmy Butler, I don't think he's aged out quite yet, although he's probably slowly, you know, going to go away from his peak, it's fair to say. I don't know that. I don't think they're the favorites, but I don't think they're. I think they're much more likely to win a title today than the Lakers are. And again, you have to factor in the fact that LeBron is aged. Like, father time does never lose, right? And Anthony Davis does have injuries. We can't be surprised if one of those two guys is dealing with something much of the year. This is what happens with them.
Yeah, I think that's the part of the context which is important, which is, yes, Kyle Lowry feels like he's a little bit long in the tooth, but the rest of the team is not necessarily. Right. Whereas when you bring in a Russell Westbrook, you're like, all right, well, you got Anthony Davis, who's like the oldest 28-year-old on earth. And then you have LeBron, right? Then you have LeBron James, who finally looks closer to his age in terms of his injuries, and he's just not going to move the same. And then all of these Trevor Ariza's of the world, like, man, dude, this was great 10 years ago. Okay, so under the radar, who's done well?
Oh, man. You know, we'll see. Let's see. First of all, I'm going to pick a team that hasn't done anything yet. I don't know yet what Philly is going to end up doing with Ben Simmons. I know as a fact that in-house they expect Ben Simmons to play. Like, when they're recruiting free agents, they're telling that Ben Simmons is a great passer story. I don't know that I believe it. I know for a fact that's happening. I like what the Wizards have done. I think that given that they just got off a Westbrook deal, right, and getting Spencer Dinwiddie, if that indeed happens, which I believe is going to happen, knowing all the young players they have, I like that. Charlotte, I'm waiting on Charlotte. Mitch Kupchak is the last guy to play the GM game at free agency because he really doesn't engage till 6 p.m. it seems each year when all these other guys have been working for weeks, if not a month. I like Devontae Graham very much for the Pelicans. But I also like that Charlotte felt like, okay, we're going to go a different direction and we're not going to just waste money and they got a pick out of it. There's been a lot of small things here and there, but I don't know. And, you know, I think Chicago has made their team better. How do you argue that they haven't? I'm not convinced that it's going to be – the East is just so loaded. I'm not convinced that they're going to get into, you know, any kind of contention status in the next 3 or 4 years.
Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. David Thorpe from True Hoop is our guest. All right, let's get to last night in the Olympics. I'm trying to think if I want to get, like, I just want to have a kind of a talk about this one. First, like, what'd you think? How did Team USA go from down 9 to winning the game going away by 14?
So I got up at 4:30 in the morning to watch it. Because I wanted to get at least 5 hours of sleep, and that's what I got, and it worked out great. I watched it on Synergy, so I didn't know the score, so I had some drama watching it. And when America was down 9, I was born in this country.
You can go wee. This is one you can go wee in. Yeah.
I thought we were playing great. We just shot terribly. Damian wasn't doing very good, but collectively, Bam Adebayo struggled, but collectively, I thought we were outplaying them. But Ricky Rubio was incredible. It turns out he never stopped being incredible, but no one joined him. So Rubio had the best game I've ever seen him play in his entire life. Our defense is suffocating. It has been this whole playoffs, this whole Olympics. I don't love that we switch everything, but it's working for them. I get why they're doing it. We scramble to help with purpose. It's really our team, Doug. I'll tell this to anyone who loves basketball. We played a lot of very beautiful basketball after the France game. Of course, it's not hard to do it against Iran. Czech Republic is pretty tough, and we blitz them. The guys share the ball the way you describe it to your children when they first start playing basketball. They move it beautifully. It's always good to great. Defensively, everyone is on a string. Drew Holiday is proven, again, to be the best defensive player on the planet. It isn't Ben Simmons or Rudy Gobert or anyone, you know, taller than 6'8". He is a personal destructive force on defense that also has found his swagger. It's so nice to see on offense. And Jason Tatum is a very nice Kevin Durant light, but we also have Kevin Durant. And so when, I mean, the players know, Doug, that you got to get KD the ball, and it just every shot is as smooth as can be. He's got every part of his game. I still think Team USA can play better. Well, they already lead the tournament in 3-point shooting made and field goal percentage from three. They still can go up another notch. And today a little bit too, Doug, they blitzed. They just did a couple, I wouldn't even call them blitzing screens, but a couple of times they got their length around Spain's guards, which normally they've not been doing because they've been switching, and they caused a lot of turnovers and steals and runouts, and they just really disrupted Spain and destroyed them and their offense. And if it wasn't for Ricky Rubio, it's a 30-point game. And when do you expect Ricky Rubio to score like that? So that's the game plan. If you force Rubio to score 60, you're going to win because he, you know, at his best, he's not doing 40, which he almost did. So it was, I thought it was a very impressive win, but it only gets tougher because they have Australia and then, you know, either I think what France or Slovenia. So these next two games will be tough as heck if they get by the next one.
All right, a couple things I saw. You know, look, I think everyone around the league really likes Damian Lillard, and I understand there's international competition, so we can say, hey, the defense, everything, the style is very, very different. And they don't really, Bam Adebayo is their only big guy. It's really amazing on how, as a country, we're just not producing the type of big players that can play in this style of competition. That said, it shows me why Portland can't get out of the first round with him as their best player, right? Couldn't really guard Rubio. He really struggled defensively. And while he's incredible as a shooter scorer, and not really a whole hell of a lot else that he does. Like, it's not like Steph does. He's a little bit craftier and smarter defensively. And then I think he can play with and without the basketball a little bit better than Damian Lillard. I thought that Lillard, they were better when they took Lillard off the court, quite frankly. I was impressed by Zach LaVine, who this is probably the biggest game. Last night was the biggest game he's played in since high school, because remember, he didn't play a ton when he was at UCLA for 1 year, right? Like, I want to know how he would play in a big game. I thought he was great. I really do. I'm with you on everything else. And then I was really surprised. Why did Spain go small? They were kicking our butt in the first half, throwing the ball inside on those switches. And the second half, it felt like, especially fourth quarter, they tried to match us and go small, and they had no shot.
Yeah, they were doing what France did. They were playing bully ball. We got bullied against France, for sure. We also shot terribly. And Spain, I think, felt like they're not going to keep shooting like this. France gambled, and it worked out for them the first time. Spain decided to go small to try to keep up with our guys, and you're not going to beat a more talented team that's, you know, smaller than you when you do what they want to do. I think you've got to try to stick with what was working, but it's just hard. And the way Team USA played off the ball and helped situation, like you can't just help lob and you can't just help post entries with a soft hand. You got to go in there with your head and your shoulders and your hips. And we did that. And, you know, Zach is someone I'm really focused on because I think Zach LaVine is the more modern player we get too often today that has all the skills and athleticism but doesn't really know how to beat you game in, game out. And I have to learn that. Like, we have a lot of guys. I've been really high on Scottie Barnes because I think he's the opposite. He really knows how to play and doesn't yet have all the skills. Great passer, dribbler, but he doesn't really shoot and score yet. I prefer teaching those guys the skill who already know how to play. It's harder to do what you're doing with Zach LaVine, but I thought Zach, I think this whole series, this last week, Zach has been guarding the ball. He's been helping better. He's been more aware. He's coming into his own, and then you think about what the Bulls have done in free agency, adding Caruso, which I just wonder how. I don't know what the Lakers are thinking. Did they not like him? I don't know.
No, I think here's what I think. Okay, I agree. They should have kept him at $9 million, the mid-level mid-level exemption.
Full mid-level,
Okay, but I think they're breaking that. They just don't have the money, so they're breaking it up to use on other guys, which I think I'm with you. They should have kept Caruso, especially considering how bad it looks like they're going to be defensively. They badly needed an Alex Caruso to go with that second lineup.
He's one of the best defensive guards in the league. And he shot 40% from three. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Instead, you're going Carmelo and Trevor Ariza. just remember these conversations when we get to the trade deadline, because they're going to be looking to find an Alex Caruso for their team.
Yeah, and they had an Alex Caruso who had won a championship with them. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, last thing is this. What's out there? What's the next big move that could? You mentioned the teams that haven't yet done anything yet. Who's the next? DeRozan's talking to the Clippers. What's the next big move in this NBA period?
I think it's Ben Simmons. Like I said, if Philadelphia is acting as if he's not going to be traded in-house on the free agent side, but I think all of us have a hard time believing that he isn't going to be traded. I do know that my friend Daryl Morey is asking for it a ton. He always does. It doesn't mean that he'll get it. In fact, it probably he won't, but it doesn't mean he won't suddenly soften his stance a little bit. It seems like the Wizards are going to go. I like what Washington's done, and I think they're going to stick with Beal for a while. I also think Portland's going to start this season with Lillard. I don't know how Lillard stays. I don't think he's going to be happy with what they have. Even in the water down west, he'll be lucky to finish middle of the pack. It's my guess, maybe the middle of the seedings of 4 or 5 like this year at best. I think it was just out of that this year. I don't know that. I think it's going to be a mess in Portland. And then I wonder, too, what else the Pelicans could do, because they know they're on the clock with Zion. The executives there know they've got to do something. Zion will definitely sign the max extension, but we all know that doesn't mean anything anymore. That's over. These guys are going to sign it. The teams are going to offer it to retain some control, so then at least get something back when they decide to trade that player, because they can't, those players aren't going to wait to free agency. 8 years after they got drafted. It's not going to happen. So they're going to get the max extension, and if the kid says, I'm not going to play, I don't need the money, I can go. I mean, look what Harden did this past year. He went and partied and got traded to the team he wanted to get traded for. That's the power these players are going to have, which, by the way, they have in Europe, in football over there. It's hit our shores now. So they got to make Zion really happy, and what they have now isn't enough probably to make him think we're going to be anything of value in the Western seedings.
Awesome stuff. TrueHoop.com or follow him on social media. He's David Thorpe. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Doug.
Could Kawhi Leonard join a new team in the next few days? We'll discuss next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Fire, what do you got?
The game today is...
Rank 'em.
All right, Doug, rank where you think Kawhi Leonard will end up since he's opted out of his contract.
With the LA Clippers.
All right, LA Clippers. It's going to be one of those days. You didn't want to do a number 3 Clippers, number 2 Clippers, number 1 Clippers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. He's not going anywhere.
All right, Doug, moving on. Sounds like you're having one of those days.
I'm just like...
You just hated that question. That's all.
No, I don't hate the question. I just... What do people think is going to happen? Right? Like, he doesn't have his bird rights, so he's going to sign he's going to sign a 2-year deal. He's going to sit most of next year. You know, I don't really understand. It's not. I know you had to ask the question because the question is out there, but I don't understand the thinking out there in which he's going to switch. Where's he going to switch teams and go?
Sure, fair enough. Rank your 3 favorite NBA free agent moves so far. Free agency moves could be signing trades like Kyle Lowry to the Heat.
My 3 favorite free agent moves?
Yes.
Oh, that's a great question. It's a really good question. 3 favorite free agent moves.
There hasn't been a lot. There's like not a lot of, right? Just a lot of guys re-upping or whatever where they're staying.
We could do worst, and then just maybe the three old Lakers or could do that as well.
I like the Kyle Lowry move. I mean, I do. I like the Kyle Lowry. He's an experienced guy. He's a good defender, and he's a good three-point shooter. I don't love what it looks like. You know, it's like, again, it's kind of the Russell Westbrook. Like, what guys look like at the end of the season, just out of gas. I guess Chris Paul, I think Chris Paul is one, by the way. That's the big one.
Sure.
Because he was going to make 40-some-odd million, and people freaked out when they saw 4 years, 120. But when the devil's in the details, it's a two-year deal with 1 year partially guaranteed and then a club option. So it's a three-year deal where the third year is not fully guaranteed. Sounds like 3 years in the 70 million variety, which sounds really smart for the Suns. And he makes more money, but it feels like a two, but maybe three-year deal for Chris Paul. I just think that's smart business. That's better. That'd be my best one. Kyle Lowry as point guard. That's a good one. Man, I'm trying to find
Rudy Gay goes to the Jazz. Yeah, as you said, Patty Mills to the Nets.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
How about this? Doug, rank your top two favorite NBA free agency moves. CP3 and Kyle Lowry. Perfect. Yeah. How about this one? With the Hall of Fame game coming up on Thursday, Steelers announcing that Mason Rudolph's going to get the start. Rank your top three Steeler quarterbacks of all time.
Ooh.
We've got...
Okay.
Yeah, you got Big Ben. You got Bradshaw.
Tommy Maddox.
Yeah. Cordell Stewart.
Mark Malone,
who we teed it up with a few years ago at Farmers Insurance Pro-Am.
I'm going to go... Cordell Stewart was the first ever slash, right?
Yeah.
I'll do Cordell Stewart three. This is my personal favorite. I'm not going to go Bobby Brister. Who was the guy who started in the Super Bowl?
Neil O'Donnell.
Let's go Neil O'Donnell three. Let's go Ben Roethlisberger two. Let's go Terry Bradshaw one.
All right. And finally, Doug, rank your three favorite preseasons in sports, spring training, NFL camps, NBA camp, college hoops exhibitions, your top three. College football spring games you could have.
Yeah, college football spring games three. NFL football. I went to Chargers camp, and we're going to go out there, I think, in over a week. We're going to Rams camp tomorrow. But the camps, two. The games are terrible. And spring training, one.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb
Show. I love
it.
You have one of those days, right? That was one of those days. Ramos, by the way, you're holding down the button. I can't hear you, whatever you're yelling out to me. Says Simone Biles finally made her return to the Olympics. We'll discuss next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.